हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रण्वन्नो दिभिः सेदसाधनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः.
As you are studying Upanishad, and you have to notice lot of things. We have to see the connection, how Tattva Bodha presents the fundamentals based on the Upanishadic teaching. Otherwise, we cannot respect any other text, anything which contradicts with the Upanishad. Well, it might make you see clearly all those things.
Om.
Bhadraṁ kaṇṇe bhiṣṇu yāma devāḥ भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः सुष्ठुवागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नः साक्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः.
ॐ
ॐ
ब्रह्मा
ब्रह्मा
देवानां प्रथमः सम्बभूव
देवानां प्रथमः सम्बभूव
विश्वस्य कर्ता भुवनस्य गोप्ता
विश्वस्य कर्ता भुवनस्य गोप्ता
सब्रह्मविद्यां
सर्वविद्याप्रतिष्ठां अथर्वाय ज्येष्ठपुत्राय प्राह अथर्वणे
याम्
प्रवदेत ब्रह्मा
अथर्वा
ताम्
पुरोवाच
अङ्गिरे
ब्रह्मविद्याम्
सभारद्वाजाय
सत्यवहाय प्राह
भारद्वाजोऽङ्गिरसे परावराम्
शौनको हवै
महाशालः
अङ्गिरसं
विधिवत्
उपसन्नः
पप्रच्छ
कस्मिन् नु
भगवो
विज्ञाते
सर्वमिदं
विज्ञातं भवति
इति
तस्मै
सहोवाच
द्वे विद्ये
वेदितव्ये
इति
हस्म
यद्
ब्रह्मविदः वदन्ति
पराच
एव
अपराच Tatra
Apara
Rigvedo Yajurveda Samaveda Tharva Veda
Yajurveda Samaveda Tharva Veda
Sikshakalpo Vyakaranam
Vyakaranam
Niruktam
Chando
Jyotishamiti
Atha
Para
Yaya
Tad
Aksharam
Adhigamyate
Tatra
Apara
Rigvedaha
I'm spitting. Yajurvedaha
Samavedaha
Atharvavedaha Have you got transliteration book?
Yes.
Fifth one, okay? Atharvavedaha
Atharvavedaha
Samavedaha
Samavedaha
Atharvavedaha
Atharvavedaha
Siksha
Kalpaha
Vyakaranam
Niruktam
Chandaha
Jyotisham
Iti So, Tatra we have done this verse last class? Okay. Apara Vidya, the two types of knowledge, and both are to be gained. So no knowledge is said to be avoided or ignored. Vedi Tavyam, whenever the word Tavya Pratyanta Shabdaha, a word ending with Tavya affix comes, it is only it's a must. Now, kartavyam means what? To be done. Seyyapatte aaga vendiyathu kartavyam. Understand now. So, veditavyam means veditavya. No? Or veditavyam, veditavyaha. Vedaha veditavyaha. Vidya veditavya. Now, veditavya means what? It must be known. Okay? So both two types of knowledge have to be gained. Paracha, aparacha. And paravidyavum, aparavidyavum, ariyappada vendiyavai. Understand? So, paracha, aparacha, veditavye. Both have to be known. The knowledge of both have to be gained. Why do you say? Because of these two, which is superior? Which is paravidya or aparavidya? We say both are to be known means both are equally important. Why do you say? Because paravidya, once you gain the paravidya, once you gain the knowledge of, gain the paravidya, then that's a culmination of knowing everything. Understand now? That is the ultimate. Paravidya is moksha. It is fullness. But to know gain, that's why it has to be known. Paravidya has to be because choiceless end. Paravidya is a choiceless end. It has to be gained. But no, then that means why do we need aparavidya? Because paravidya needs preparation of the mind. For the paravidya to rise, mind needs to be prepared. Mind needs to become subtle. For the gross mind to become subtle, for the unsteady, indisciplined, agitated mind to become calm, steady, and quiet, and to be able to grasp, and for the mind to think logically, not mechanically believing things out of fear, the mysticism, all those things, to think logically, not to get trapped anywhere. The mind can get trapped anywhere because we are of the nature of believing anything. We are not asked not to believe. Well, we have to have belief in the words of Veda, not to believe things. Believing is different. Always have to think also. Believe, but think and see whether it contradicts your reasoning. And second thing, and that's very important, isn't it? So for the mind to start thinking logically also, it needs to become subtle. You know, paravidya serves, aparavidya serves as a discipline. That is why it's called discipline. Any medicine or engineering is called discipline because it disciplines the indisciplined mind. Indisciplined mind. Listen, mind is naturally indisciplined. So the distracted mind, indisciplined mind, agitated mind, restless mind, okay, turbulent mind, and the impure mind, for it to become pure, serene, understand, and steady and disciplined, thereby the mind, for the mind to become subtle and to be able to think logically and to grasp it, okay, for to be able to be the place where the paravidya can rise, understand? For that, preparation, aparavidya is the only way. Understand now? That's why in other ways we say, pursuit of artha kama in conformity with dharma is important for one to be prepared for gaining moksha. We say that. Without artha kama, it's not possible for one to attain moksha directly. But artha kama themselves are not the ultimate ends. Similarly here also, aparavidya is for making the mind subtle, to think widely, to think logically. Very important. Therefore, aparavidya is for preparation and paravidya is for the prepared. Paravidya is the ultimate. So therefore, paracha aparacha iva dve vidye veditavye. Because in Vedic period, they did not know about microbiology and biotechnology and all these things. They are not mentioned here. So we have to include all the new courses offered in all the different universities come under the category of aparavidya. Any discipline is aparavidya. Including our latest, what all people are studying now. You know, psychotherapy, that and this. All these things come under the category of any study of any discipline, what? Aparavidya. Understand? Any book, any word, whether it's from a book, any word, any book is only aparavidya. And because paravidya is just a thought. Understand? I just will explain it. So here, therefore, in the Upanishad mentions all the lists the names of all the aparavidya, all the four Vedas. Then all the Veda Angas, six. For Vedangas, the knowledge of which is required for understanding the Vedas. Like, you know, Siksha, Kalpaha, Vyakaranam, Niruktam, Chandas, Jyotisham, etc. Then he says, Atha, Para, Yaya, Tad, Aksharam, Adhigamyate. And what is Paravidya then? Paravidya is only that by which the imperishable, indestructible, eternal reality is understood. He becomes known. In fact, paravidya is the knowledge. Knowledge rises in the form of what? Thought. Understand? It is a thought, knowledge. The paravidya is just the knowledge. What is the knowledge? The thought. The knowledge which rises in the mind, okay, rises as the thought. The knowledge which rises as the thought. And knowledge of what? Knowledge of the reality being identical with the self. Knowledge of Brahman, the absolute reality, the truth of the whole Jagat, which being identical with the self. Understand? The knowledge of Brahman, the reality, sarupam of which has been understood as the sarupam of the self, as the meaning of the word I. The knowledge which rises, understand now, is a thought, just the thought which rises, alone is paravidya. Vision alone is paravidya. Then what about Upanishads? They are all a means of knowledge. They are not the knowledge. Understand now, any means of knowledge comes under the category of aparavidya. the knowledge alone is paravidya. Understand? Because knowledge of objects which rise in the mind always aparavidya. Understand now? Look at this. The means of knowledge. For example, anything which serves as means of knowledge, the textbook, serves as a means of knowledge of given subject matter. A physics book or chemistry book or any book, any text or any book, any content, which serves as means of knowing the subject matter of that book, becomes what? Aparavidya. The words which talk about the given subject matter, reveal subject matter, is aparavidya. Then the knowledge rises in the form of thought. The knowledge which rises in the mind as a thought of anything other than Brahman is also aparavidya. The only one is now. That is why the knowledge of the reality being identical with the self, which rises in the mind as the thought, understand, alone is paravidya. Is it clear? Very, very important that is. Then we can understand, other than the knowledge of the self, knowledge of the reality, Brahman, Brahma Jnanam, okay? Any knowledge rises in the form of thought only. Knowledge of physics does not rise somewhere, some part of the body as something else, like a bud. How the bud comes out of the plant. Not like that. Any knowledge of any subject, okay, any object, rises as the thought in the mind. Enna vadivil arivu udikkirathu. Understand now? There's no doubt. So knowledge of the reality also rises in the form of thought only. Therefore, knowledge of the reality being identical with the self. Nanindra sullin purulah irikindra paramrulai patriya arivu manadhi udikkirathu aduve paravidya. Understand? Knowledge of the reality being identical with the self which rises in the mind alone is paravidya. Param jnanam. And because why it is called paravidya, gaining that knowledge, then nothing, the knowledge of anything else need not be gained. I don't say you should not gain, okay? Need not be, which different in saying that. Once you gain knowledge of Brahman, then you should not know anything else. I don't say that. You need not gain any other knowledge. Why? Because the very desire to know will not be there. The need to know is not there. The very desire to know is possible only if there is, okay, need to know. The need to know will be there only if there is pressure caused by inadequacy in terms of knowledge is there. The smallness in terms of knowledge is there. And any inadequacy in terms of anything, smallness in terms of anything is possible only if there is no fullness. Listen, if there is no fullness, nirayvillayel, manadil nirayvillayel, kurayirukkum. It's very simple. If there is no fullness, then definitely there will be inadequacy. No, nirayv is there, but if there is fullness, but still there is also inadequacy. No. It is not possible. It is like saying, no, there is both, darkness and light together. We say, so look at this, everywhere darkness and light together. It is not possible. Where there is light, there cannot be, understand now, darkness. Similarly, here also, where there is fullness, there is no inadequacy. There cannot be a sense of being inadequate. Understand now? Where there is fullness, nirayvirukkum poludhu kurai illai. Inadequacy is not there. When there is no inadequacy, in terms of what? There is no smallness. Smallness in terms of anything is not there. There is no such thing called inadequacy at all. Whether in terms of knowledge, in terms of look, anything. Therefore, inadequacy of anything is being not there. Therefore, the need also will not be there. The need being not there, the desire to know itself will not arise. Therefore, there is no need for one to know anything anymore, to accomplish anything anymore. That is why we say paravidya is paravidya. The knowledge of the reality being identical with Brahman, which is in the mind as a thought, is paravidya. And once this knowledge rises means what? Not rising something. Okay, once this vision is very clear there, then everything, you know, there's no need for one to accomplish anything anymore, to know anything anymore. That is why it puts an end to all the problems and things. Therefore it's called paravidya. There's only a thought. Understand? But for the thought to rise, understand? For the nature of knowledge, nature of the reality to be understood, and the nature of reality being identical with the self, and the self being non-separate from the reality, self being one with the reality, self being Brahman, understand now? Being Brahman, for that knowledge to understand, for that knowledge to rise, for that vision to happen, and for that clarity to come, words of Upanishads unfolded properly serve as means. Therefore, words of Upanishads are also what? Aparavidya. What we are studying now, Upanishads, what? Aparavidya only. But why do we study this then, if it's aparavidya? Because it helps us think correctly, understand? It helps us to understand correctly. Therefore, it creates a condition in the mind. The study of the Upanishads creates a condition in the mind wherein it can grasp the subtlest nature of reality. Understand? That is why Upanishads also, the Upanishads themselves form part of the Veda only. Because concluding part, isn't it? When you say enter all the four Vedas means what? All the Upanishads have been already included in the Vedas, are aparavidya. Because sometimes doubt comes. Oh no, no, we feel very bad to accept Upanishads being said to be aparavidya. What Upanishads? Everything is aparavidya. Even that knowledge of anything which exists in the mind, of anything other than the self, also is aparavidya. Okay? The thought alone is, understand now, the thought which rises in the mind, as, understand now, knowledge. Knowledge rises in the mind as the thought. And the knowledge of the reality of the whole jagat being identical with the self. The being the very self, being the very meaning of the word I is what? That thought, knowledge alone is paravidya. Is it clear now? I'm giving exactly what I should be giving here. That is paravidya. Then he said, let us go to the next. Right, Mr. Prince? I see. Okay, now the next verse begins. Next mantra comes. Because the student asked this question, what is that? No, knowing which everything else becomes known as it were. No, everything else becomes known as well. What is that? Kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. Until the fifth mantra, the question was asked in the... When was the question asked? Understand? The question was put much earlier. But all this time, he only talked about all these things. And in talking about other things, if the teacher, without directly giving the answer, he was telling so many things. Upanishad itself presents the text in such a way that we understand lot of things which go with the study of Upanishads. One, what is the main thing we understood? Perennial eternity of the Veda Shastram. Timelessness of the Veda Shastram. Vedatin kala varera inmai is a main thing we understood from the very first verse. How did we understand? Because it was presented that Shastram is directly from Bhagavan. Therefore, it is not written by some... People always think rishis are writers or what? It is not written by some people. They think... And they think, and then it is from their own thinking. It's not an outcome of the thinking of rishis. Understand? It's a fact. It's all subtle facts revealed to the mind, intellects of the rishis. It is not the outcome of their thinking. Understand now? It is got revealed to the rishis. That is why I say it is directly from Bhagavan. That is why we say Shastram is timeless. It is perennially eternal. I'll explain this again. Don't worry. I'll explain this perennial eternity or timelessness of Vedas again. That is first thing. Brahma Devanam Prathama Sambhava Vishwasya Karta Bhuvanasya Gopta. That mantra is specially said to for us to understand Veda is timeless. Shastram. It is not a product of human intellect and it is revealed, it is from Bhagavan himself. When I say himself again, don't worry, himself and herself. It is from the Lord. Directly revealed. Understand? The next thing is, and the Shastram is something to be understood and studied with the help of the competent teacher who knows this Sampradaya. The importance of Sampradaya also is highlighted here by mentioning the few names of the teachers and Sishyas. Because tradition is very, very given very much importance by Upanishads. Anything we take only certain things said in the Veda, meditation, etc. We don't respect what is said in the Veda. Upanishad means what? Take what is convenient for us and we leave what is not convenient for us. No. So here tradition also is emphasized, highlighted here. Tradition means what? How the Shastram has to be studied with the help of the teacher. And who is the teacher? Definitely the teacher is the one who was a student. That's why we see here. And the list is presented. Who was a student for other person becomes a teacher for other person. This Angiras also was a student of other person. Understand? Now he becomes a teacher for Shaunaka. So any student is any sishya, the disciplined one, siksha yogya, one who deserves teaching, and he studies well, understands well, he can't miss the vision and he becomes qualified to be the teacher. That's also understood as a second point understood in this next mantra. And also, don't look down upon anything. Any discipline is Ishvara for us. And so we reduce all the disciplines we reduce the knowledge to two types of knowledge, paravidya and aparavidya. And what is paravidya? Paravidya is that gaining which, everything else, becomes as well gained. There will not be desire to gain anything anymore. There will not be need to gain anything anymore. Why? Because the very problem, what is it which causes which creates the need or to desire itself will be resolved. The inadequacy in smallness. In the wake of knowledge, the knowledge of the reality is that which will help you discover the fullness. Which will help you remain in fullness. Therefore, it's called paravidya. That is why it's called paravidya. It will liberate you from bondage, samsara, for good. That is why it's called paravidya. But other disciplines, we don't need to say they're unimportant. Other study of other disciplines also are important because it prepares the mind for paravidya. So now, even though we are not studying all four Vedas, other disciplines like Jyotisham, etc., doesn't matter. We have our own aparavidya. A study of physics, a study of chemistry, study of languages. I tell you, amazing. People take languages for granted, I tell you. Study of languages, grammar, very, very important. All make your mind, you have to think a lot. Study of language, study of science and medicine and technology, all these things really serve, they're substitutes for the aparavidya mentioned in Upanishads. So we don't need to say we have not heard aparavidya then. We don't need to feel bad. We have our own enough aparavidya. We have done enough aparavidya study. Understand now? But not the Veda, but differently. That is why we are able to think and all that. Everybody cannot have the knowledge of everything. We all have knowledge of something, though not Vedas. Okay? That is aparavidya. Whatever we know, whatever we have studied, serves as aparavidya for us, a preparatory knowledge. Understand? Knowledge which prepares the mind for knowledge of the reality, paravidya, is aparavidya. Is it clear now? That is also highlighted. We have 3 points now. Now we have to go to the next mantra. Having mentioned these 3 points very clearly, slowly Upanishad introduces the nature of Brahman in a nutshell. So what is Aksharam is described in a nutshell in the 6th mantra. What is described in a nutshell, present in a nutshell, I will be later on elaborately discussed for further assimilation. And because he asked, Kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. Yedu ariyapatta bodhi, ellam ariyapattadaga aagirathu. Kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. What is that? By knowing which everything else becomes as well known. Therefore he has to say, that is Brahman. Brahman is that is Brahman. Knowing Brahman, everything else becomes known. Everything else, listen now. How do you say that? Once you know Brahman, everything else becomes known means what? I told you already, everything else does not become known, but known as it were. Understand now? Known as well, I said. What does it mean? Because not having desire for any further knowledge is as good as having, understand now, fulfilled the desire for knowledge. Not having any further desire for knowledge is as good as having fulfilled the desire for knowledge. So not having any desire for any knowledge means sometimes there is no interest at all for knowing. So all the people who do not have any, no, not at all inclined to study and know, they are all jnanis or what? No. This is different. We have to be very careful here. There are many people who don't want to go to school. You know, I remember once I had I didn't do the homework, so I wanted to bunk the school. My mother just gave me and then she pushed me to school. Now, so from time, you know, we don't want to understand. Women and children don't want to go to school in India also. Don't want to go to school. Why? Because, no, I'm not interested in studying. That means what? Not interested in study. No, I have no desire to study. Know anything. That means what? Oho. For not having desire to study, know anything. Now I'm telling you here, not having any desire to know anything anymore is as good as having the desire to fulfilled. No, here it is different. Why? Because the desire to know something, desire to know is not there. Desire for anything is not there. That's the difference. People who don't want to go to school, they don't have desire to study, work hard, you know, strain. But they have desire for everything else. Understand? Here a jnani, when you talk about a jnani, the one who does not, doesn't have desire to know anything anymore means, not only the desire to know, the desire to do anything also is not there. The desire for any pleasure also is not there. There is no such thing called desire at all in the person. Desire for anything is not there. When we talk about, I do not say having desire is wrong. We understand. It only describes the, I am only talking about the jnani. Understand now? The desire itself does not arise for anything, not only for knowledge, desire for anything does not arise. There is no desire at all. Why? Because there is no such thing called need, there is no such thing, inner pressure is not there. Why? Because the sense of inadequacy has been resolved. Why? Because the smallness is resolved. Why? Because there is only fullness. How fullness? Because fullness is the very surupam. The fullness is the reality. Understand now? And he has discovered the reality as the very self, as fullness. Therefore, all the problems are resolved for good, and such a person who revels in fullness is free from desire for anything. Therefore, there cannot be desire for knowledge also, and he doesn't need to know anything anymore. So, not having desire for anything is as good as having, this fulfilled all the desires. Therefore, we say, the knowledge, understand now, gaining that knowledge and the desire for, okay, everything else becomes as well gained. That is why there is one thing. At least the student knows this much, no? He knows that what there is something by knowing which everything else becomes as well known, as it were, no? At least he knows this. Therefore, he comes and asks, what is that? Knowing which everything else becomes as known as it were. Kasman vijnate, sarvam vijnatam bhavati. Edu ariyappatta bodhu, enda ondru ariyappatta bodhu, ellam ariyappattadaga aagirathu. Ariyappattadu, he doesn't say, ariyappattadaga aagirathu. Then now he has to say Brahman. Aksharam Brahma, aksharam. Alivatra Parambarul. Understand now? Aksharam Brahma. Imperishable, indestructible reality is Brahman. And then in knowing Brahman, everything else becomes known as it were. What is it, Brahman? Now Upanishad has to teach. So Upanishad cannot directly show Brahman. Why? Because Brahman is the subtlest reality. See, the very word Brahman means biggest. Biggest means what? That which is big. There is nothing which is bigger than the reality. This is called Brahman. How big it is time-wise, spatially, object-wise, limitless. It is limitlessly big. That which exists always, that which exists everywhere, that which exists in everything, that which exists as everything. Always, everywhere and everything. Understand? As everything. What is Brahman? But how to understand, make the person understand? Upanishad follows a trick, no? Upanishad, to make the mind grasp the subtlest substance, it tells what Brahman is not. Look at this. What Brahman is not, it has to say. To help you arrive at what Brahman is. Therefore, it starts saying. It does not say what Brahman is. The words which you are going to see in the following verse now, see, the words which say what Brahman is not. இதுவெல்லாம் பரம்பொருள் அல்ல என்பதை உணர்த்துவதன் மூலம் இது பரம்பொருள் என்பதை அறிய வைக்கிறது, புரிய வைக்கிறது. Understand? I will see this. Look at this. Because we have wrong understanding of Brahman. That is why. Look at this. Yate.
Yate.
This is an answer for that question. Kasman vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. For that question, answer is given in a nutshell in this. Hey, that is Brahman. But he doesn't say Brahman also. One second, sorry. It's too warm. Yate.
Yate.
Tade.
Tade.
Adreshyam.
Adreshyam.
See, always the Upanishad use some words like yat, tad, etc. Sometimes. But we have to see. Yat.
Yat
means that. Okay, that. Tad.
Tad
also means that. Okay, that which, that. But we have to say just that. Yat.
Tad.
Adreshyam.
Adreshyam.
So that which is adreshyam. Okay, dreshyam means drishyam. Drishyam means visible seen. So the seen, so adreshyam na drishyam adrishyam. Understand now? Not visible, not seen. That which is not seen. That which is not seen. When you say that which is not seen through physical eyes. When it says that which is not seen through physical eyes means Brahman is not something which is perceived through eyes, seen through eyes. So now you can say anything which you see through your eyes, you perceive through eyes, understand now? Brahman is not anything which you perceive through your eyes. Then it also implies Brahman is not anything which is perceived through any of the senses. Drishyam literally means seen. Drishyam means drishyam, seen. Visible thing, understand now. But adrishyam, not seen. That which is not seen. So anything which is seen, understand now, Brahman is not anything which is seen through eyes. Not only seen through, this also stands for anything which is perceived through any of the sense powers. So Brahman is not anything which is seen, anything which is heard, anything which is smelt, anything which is tasted, anything which is felt through skin. Understand now? So Brahman is not any of the sense objects. By saying this, understand now, it is one small thing that Brahman is not an object of knowledge. How does it person look at this? Brahman is not an object of knowledge. Is it clear now? Adrishyam, one word. Brahman is not something which is seen. Thereby saying that, he says Brahman is not anything which is perceived through any of the senses. Thereby it says Brahman is not something, an object of knowledge. Not perceptible. Brahman is imperceptible. Understand now? Not perceptible. Anything perceptible, Brahman is not anything perceptible. Adrishyam. Then he says, agrahyam.
Agrahyam.
How carefully he presents the words, no? Adrishyam, when he said, Brahman is not an object of knowledge. Not perceived through senses. Okay, then can Brahman be something which is an object of action, which can be grasped, which can be held, which can be kicked, understand now? Or touched, and which can be discussed about using your organ of speech, which you can talk about using your organ of speech, which can be grasped with your hands, held with your hands, which can be touched or hands and now kicked or something. Is Brahman something like that? Or which can be produced, reproduced? Or is it, it's not something which is, which can be, understand now, gulped and evacuated? No. Brahman is not an object of action also. Sir, agrahyam. See the next word now. Agrahyam. See, grahyam means graspable, that which can be grasped, literal meaning. Understand? That which can be grasped with your hands. Now, book is grahyam. Grahyam, that which can be held, graspable, that which can be grasped, grahyam. I am teaching now, what is being taught is grasped. Listen now, grahyam. Graspable. But here I can grasp him. Suppose as I throw it. Now it is grasp. Listen, it is grahyam. She can, listen now. It is grahyam. I'm throwing, she can hold it. That which can be held. Grasped. Like this. Physical. Physical grasping here, not intellectual grasping. Understand now? So grahyam. So agrahyam. Not graspable. Not that which cannot be grasped. That means what? That which cannot be held. That one word stands for Brahman being not an object of action also. So Brahman is not something, understand? Something which is an object of no object. Understand? Brahman is not anything which is an object of action. It is not something to be talked about. It is not something to be consumed and evacuated. It is not, understand now, it is not something to be something to be reproduced. It is not something to be, held or pushed or understand now. It's not something to be, you can just walk from here to there and attain Brahman. No, it's not something to, not an object of action. Using your legs, using your hands, using your throat, using your, other organs of actions, you cannot attain Brahman. Understand now? That means what? Brahman is not an object of knowledge, object of action also. Brahman is not an object of knowledge. Brahman is not an object of actions also. Therefore, agrahyam. So, adreshyam means, adreshyam stands for, Brahman being not an object of knowledge. Agrahyam implies Brahman being not an object of action. Sayalal adayappada mudiyadadu, sayalin vilaivaha alladadu, unarva purungalukkum ettadadu. Understand now? Therefore, adreshyam, agrahyam. Then we say agotram. Agotram is another word. Agotram. Gotram means something, anything which has lineage has gotram. Gotram is lineage. Lineage means what? Definitely, nobody would have just jumped on her own. One must have come from one's parents. And the parents must have come from their parents. They must have come from their parents. Like that, you can always trace your. Listen, it's always easy for one to trace one's background. We trace, and that's called, the thing is what? Called lineage. That's called a gotram. So what? The gotram is possible for one, anything which has birth. For something must be coming into existence newly, without having existed before. Understand now? But the body was not there before. It has come into being. It was a birth. Understand now? So that anything which has a birth, which has a beginning, alone can have a lineage. Oh, where have you come from? Understand now? Where do you belong to? Understand? You can say, Tris, I belong to Bharadwaja Gotram, Kashyapa Gotram. We have many Gotras like that. No, any we have that, we can say even today. I tell you, if you trace, all the Indians can trace their. We also can have. Anybody can trace their lineage. Which gotram you belong to? You can say who your father was, father's father was, father. You can say that. So only anything which has a birth alone can have. can have gotram. What about Brahman? A gotram. So Brahman does not say what Brahman says. Brahman is something. Okay, Brahman is not anything which has gotram. Look at this. You have to understand it this way. Brahman is that which does not have any gotram, which has any gotram. This is another way of is negating. Understand now? It says negation is only to make you understand what Brahman is not. Brahman is not anything which is perceived through senses. Brahman is not an object which can be obtained as a result of action through action. Brahman is not something, anything which has gotram, agotram. Understand? Brahman has no gotram, agotram. Then, avarnam. Next is avarnam. This all, like asatyam. Satyam, asatyam, the A only negates what Brahman is not. A says what Brahman is not. The negative particle, nang, actually it comes and tells what Brahman is not. Avarnam. See, Varnaha, look at this. Varnaha means literally color. But Varnaha means in fact anything which has description. Anything which can be described is Varnaha. That is why in Tamil we have this word Varnanam. Varnital. No? Tamil also we have this word Varnanam. In Sanskrit also Varnanam is there. Varnanam is a noun, gerund. Describing, description is Varnanam. Varnayati is the verb. Varnayati. Varnayati means describes. Varnanam, description, describing. And varnaha, anything which has, which can be described, a describable thing, explicable thing, a describable thing, a thing which can be described is called varnaha. A color can be described. Understand? That's why it's called color itself because of varna. And here, avarnaha. So any any noun can have adjective. Look at this. Any object which is indicated by a word is a noun, and definitely it can be described. It can have an adjective. Understand? And Brahman is avarnaha. Avarnaha means what? Brahman is not anything. Understand now? Brahman is indescribable. That means what? Brahman is not anything which can be described. Brahman is not anything which can be described. Which has descriptions. And now, because object of knowledge is varna. Any object of knowledge is described. We already said Brahman is adresham agrahyam. Brahman being not an object of knowledge, it is avarna. If it is subject, understand now, if Brahman is drishyam, then it is go, it has, understand now, drishyam means it has beginning, it has birth, it has go, sagotram. Look at this, if it is drishyam, if it is grahyam, then it can say it has gotram, it is sagotram, it is avarnam. Now it is agotram avarnam we say. Because it cannot be described. It is not an object at all to be described. Understand? Agotram, avarnam. And we can also say one more thing, that a Brahman not only is not something which cannot be described, there is no such thing called even the varnas. Anything which has the human beings also not classified into four groups as Kshatriya, Brahmana, Vaishya, Sudra, Varnas. Now based on their inclination and interest in the type of work they are interested in, they are categorized. Caste system is not something to be misunderstood. Now people have been classified into groups based on their interests and inclinations in terms of works. Whatever job they are interested in, work they are interested in, they are inclined to do, based on that, how the inclinations are absolutely mind, isn't it? Mindset. That they are classified into Brahmana, Kshatriya, Shudra, Vaishyas. So such varnas are possible for human beings who have birth. Listen, anything which has birth. But here we are talking about Brahma, Adrishyam, Agrahyam, Agotram, Avarnam. Therefore, that definitely this Brahman is not something which is born. Therefore, it is not what? It is also avarnaha. It doesn't have any varna. It doesn't belong to any of the category of Kshatriya, Brahmana, Shudra, Vaishya. Brahman is not a Brahmana. Brahman is not, understand now? Brahman is not a Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya. Any of this. Avarnaha. This is another meaning. Then two meanings you have to say for varnaha. Avarnaha. Then avarnam. Then Achakshushrotram. 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 So first we said Brahman is not an object of sense organ. And then we said Brahman is not an object of any organs of action. Understand now? Any action also, no? Object of action also. Now here we say, it is not only, Brahman is not just an object of knowledge. Brahman is not even the means of knowledge. Understand? The means of knowledge we have. Chakshuhu is what now? Chakshuhu, eyes. We already negated this. Understand now? Anything seen is not Brahman means. Now you can understand. Our physical body also is what here? Comes under the category of drishyam, grahyam. You can hold it. It is visible. Understand now? Touched. Everything. It is, this physical body is drishyam, physical body is grahyam, And physical body is savarnam, we can describe it. Weight, height, everything you can describe about the person. How does Keith look? Okay, we can describe. So it's all savarnam. And then gotram also. Which gotram? We can say this physical body is gotram, it has varnam, understand now? And it has everything. Therefore, we understand very clearly if Brahman is not the body, also you understand. Not only the things, by understanding these words, you also understand Brahman is not definitely the physical body also. Like any other object. Because it's also obvious, isn't it? Because it's so, when you say Brahman is adresyam, body is seen. Body is perceived. Therefore, Brahman is not the body. So, body is what, and then, agrahyam. Brahman is not the physical body because body is grahyam. Not agrahyam. And Brahman is agotram. Whereas body is just gotram. Brahman is avarnam. Understand now? Whereas body is what? Brahman is not the body because body is savarnam. Understand now? Body can be described. So here we say, and based on the body only we can say, no? Based on the involvement of the body in given actions, we can say the also varna. Isn't it? Therefore, there's no varna also. Then, achakshushrotram.
Achakshushrotram.
Now we enter into the subtle. Understand? Not only objects of knowledge, Brahman is not the means of knowledge also. What are all the means of knowledge? Five sense powers. Look at it. Chakshuhu stands for seeing power. Chakshuhu does not mean the physical eye here. Chakshuhu means the sense power, sense organ. Understand now? The seeing power of the eyes. Chakshuhu. Chakshuhu literally means eyes. But here, eyes means here we have to understand the subtle. Because the physical eyes you can see. Thank you. You can see. The physical eyes. But what you cannot see is the physical, the seeing power through physical eyes, isn't it? Your chakshuhu. Chakshuhu is a indriyam here. Chakshur indriyam. The power of seeing. Not only the seen object. Brahman is not only the seen object. Not the seen object. Brahman is also not the seeing power. Brahman is not the seeing power. I am very careful in putting Brahman in the beginning. I'm not seeing power is not Brahman, okay? Brahman is not the seeing power. And then Brahman is not the hearing power also. Brahman is not an object heard through senses, not a sound. But here we say, no, shrotram, na achakshuhu ashrotram, achakshushrotram. Brahman is not, understand, in the power of hearing. So these two words stand for everything, all the sense powers. Brahman is not any of the means of knowledge. Brahman is not any of the sense powers. Brahman is not any of the five senses which serve as means of knowledge. Subtle powers. Is it clear now? Because it makes us think now. So this stands for not only the five sense powers, it stands for the entire subtle body. How do you say this? Because Brahman is not the pranas. Brahman is not the mind. Brahman is not the mind. And Brahman is not, understand now, not the mind means Brahman is not connected to not anything or any of the subtle aspects. That is implied by these two words, achakshushrotram. Achakshushrotram itself implies now Brahman is not any of the subtle aspects. Not the seeing power, not the hearing power, not the power of smelling, not and as a power of taste, power of touch, not the physiological functions. Not the mind also. Then, tad Apani padam.
Apani padam.
Okay, tad apani padam. Brahman is not anything which has legs and feet. Okay, apani hi handless. Understand now? I can say apadaha, apadam legless. Understand now? Brahman is not anything which has legs and hands. In not only Brahman is not in something, no, not Brahman is not the hands. Brahman is not the hands. Brahman is not the legs. Understand now? Brahman is not anything which has these parts. These parts, okay? Parts are divisible parts. Brahman is not anything which has divisible parts, like hands, legs, etc. We're saying here, Brahman is not the mean. Brahman is not object of knowledge. Brahman is not an object of action. Brahman is not means of knowledge. Brahman is not means of action also. Is it clear now? These four points are revealed by these first things. Agrahyam, Adreshyam. Understand now? Then Achakshashrotram, Apanipadam. This, understand now, it is negated. So when you say this, not only again things external to the body, you understand the body also. Body also is what now? Body is drishyam, grahyam, savarnam, no? Gotram, it has gotram. And all that. Therefore it has, then shrot, pani padaha, understand now? Sapani padaha is sharira, devaha. See, apanipadam, then, if Brahman is not anything like this, then what is Brahman? Brahman is adresham, agrahyam, agotram, avarnam, achakshushrotram, tad apanipadam. Read the sentence now. Yat, tad,
adresham,
agrahyam,
agotram,
avarnam, Achakshushrotram tad apanipadam. See, panihi hand, padaha foot. Understand now? Apanipadam. Kal kai atradu. Is it clear now? So that means what kal kai atradu means? Anything which has legs and hands, or any legs and, understand now, are not Brahman. Is not Brahman. Brahman is not anything which has hands and legs. Brahman is not hands and legs also. Is it clear? If then Brahman is not anything, then what is it then? Look at it. We negated everything what Brahman is not said in the first line. Okay? The first line of the mantra says, what Brahman is not first. Why it is saying? Because we mistake what Brahman is not for Brahman. And we do not know what Brahman is. We do not know really what Brahman is. And we mistake, understand, what Brahman is not for Brahman. Therefore, Upanishad is very, first it has to clear the mind, erase. No? Yes, scratch our wrong understanding. So, it first, before telling what Brahman is, it tells you what Brahman is not. If at all you think you already know Brahman, and then you understand Brahman, understand now? So, Brahman is not any of these things. Amazing, isn't it? You see the way Upanishad presents. It first says what Brahman is not. So that at least will make sure, oh my God, Brahman is not anything that I know. Understand now? So that I do not know Brahman. You will know that now very clearly. Then it says what Brahman is. What Brahman is not is said in the first sentence. What Brahman is said in the second sentence. Okay? You say, look at this now. Nityam.
Nityam.
Vibham.
Vibham.
Sarvagatam.
Sarvagatam.
Susu. sukshmam
susukshmam
tad avyayam
avyayam
yad
yad
bhutayonim
bhutayonim
paripashyanti
paripashyanti
dhiraha
dhiraha.
Now he says, what is Brahman? He said, next sentence, look at this, nityam.
Nityam.
Vibhum.
Vibhum.
See, Brahman is nityam. You can say, Brahman is what? Brahman is none other than the Atma. Another word for Brahman is what? Atma. Brahman is Atma, Atma is Brahman. The two words used to mean the reality. Brahman is Atma. Brahman is Atma. Brahman is the self. Brahman is not an object of knowledge. Brahman, if it is not, then can you say Brahman is not there at all? Brahman is non-existent or what? No. Understand? So here, that's what he says. Brahman is, what the Brahman is, he says to, Nityaha. Brahman is Atma. Here, next sentence, it talks about Nityaha. Atma is Nityaha. Mm-hmm. What is Atma? Atma is Brahman. What is Atma? All pervasive self. Atma is Nityaha. Brahman is Nityaha. Atma is Nityaha. Nityaha means what? Eternal. Eternal means what? Timeless. Timeless means what? Beginningless. Beginningless, therefore what? Endless. Not only beginningless, it's also changeless. Nityaha. Beginningless, endless, changeless is eternal, which is Nityaha. Therefore, anything which is not eternal is not Brahman. Understand now? Brahman is not anything which is time-bound. Look at this. When you say Nityaha, Brahman is not anything which is time-bound. Then you can definitely say everything is time-bound here. Any object of knowledge is time-bound. Isn't it? Therefore, Brahman is Nityaha, Atma is Nityaha when you say, Brahman is Nityam when you say, Brahman is eternal means it is not definitely anything which is time-bound. Parampurul kala varaikutpatta enda oru porulum alla. Then you say, Vibhuhu.
Vibhuhu.
Vibhuhu. So that one may have a doubt here, you know. Oh, if you say Atma is Nityaha, if it's something, if it's not an object of knowledge, and anything which is not an object of knowledge, it becomes non-existent thing for us. Look at this. If anything I cannot see, it cannot be seen, it cannot be heard, it cannot be perceived, it cannot be touched. What is this then? It has no legs, no form, nothing. That means it is non-existent then. It is not there at all. Why do you say it is not there at all? Because you said Nityaha. Why do you say it is Nityaha? Anything eternal. No, anything eternal can, non-existence also is eternal. How do you say non is not eternal? Because definitely there has not been a rabbit with a horn. Understand? In future also there will not be a rabbit with the horn. Here something comes into being which may look like the rabbit but not exactly the rabbit. Understand now? Rabbit with the horn will never be. Even a human being with the horn also will never be. If a human, suppose a human being, we have understanding of how a human being looks. Now in future there may be a new being coming into existence with the horns. A human being with horns. No. Understand? Human being's horn is also what? Non-existent thing. Yeah, understand how many, it's an expression of non-existent. What is non-existent? That which does not exist at all is unreal. That which does not exist at all is unreal. That which exists only for a given length of time is as though. That's why we give the technical term used is mithya. That which exists always alone is satyam. Therefore, the man's horn is neither satyam nor mithya. Man's horn is what? Man's horn is?
Tucham.
Tucham. Understand now? Tucham. Totally non-existent. So it is eternally non-existent. Understand now? What is non-existent? It's eternal, isn't it? No, once upon a time there were human beings who had horns. We can't say that. Now in future there may be new human beings will be born with the horns. That's also not possible. Unless we go for some cloning, okay? This I don't know will work. We may go for anything. Now what I'm saying here, it's not possible. It's non-existent. Therefore, can we say, understand now? Nityaha, when you say, Brahman is not anything which can be seen, heard, perceived, objectified. Understand now? Brahman is not any of the means of knowledge. Everything explained, has no legs and no form. It cannot be seen at all in any way, it cannot be known. Brahman, who said Brahman cannot be known? Brahman can be known, but not as an object of knowledge. Understand now? Brahman cannot be known as an object of knowledge. Therefore, we say Brahman is something which is not knowable. It is not unknowable. Understand now? But not knowable means what? It cannot be known as an object of knowledge. Therefore, the doubt may come. Brahman also, if we say shunyam, is Brahman a non-existence, then non-existent thing? No. Understand? It is not true. Brahman is eternal here means Brahman is not any of these things. Brahman is not an object of knowledge. Understand now? Not the means of knowledge. Not an object of action. Not the means of action. Brahman is not anything which has legs and divisible parts like legs and hands. Brahman itself is not legs and hands also. A Brahman is eternal. Why? Because all these objects are not described above. All are time bound. Brahman is something eternal. At the same time, Brahman is not non-existent. Listen now, Nityaha. Then we say here, Nityaha, Brahman is Nityaha. Atma is Nityaha and Vibhuhu. Vibhuhu means what? Vividham bhavati iti vibhuhu. Vividham bhati, vividham bhavati. That one Brahman is that one Brahman is that which alone has become many, which alone shines as many, which has become many, which alone shines as many is Vibhu. Palavaha Tondri Vilanguvadu Vibhu. That is why Vibhu, Vibha means Lakshmi wealth. That which is now able to shine as many. That which is now is Vibha, that is wealth. That is a power, isn't it? Power is wealth. So here we say Vibhu means Vividam Bhati, Vividam Bhavati, Vibhu. That which becomes many and shines as many is Vibhu. That which alone has become many. Yenda wonder Palavaha Tondri Vilangagiradho adu Vibhu. How is it possible? If we become many means, anything which becomes something has to undergo a change. Look at this. Anything which becomes something else, which becomes many, has to undergo a change. To become many. Without undergoing a change, one thing cannot become something. Even the milk has to undergo a change, okay, to become yogurt. Some change takes place in the part of the milk. It doesn't remain the same milk. Understand now? Even the contents are the same. They change it. It's different. And even for the gold to become change, it undergoes a change. Undergoes a change. This is what we say. Anything undergoes a change is what we say. No? But here, That which becomes many, shines as many, without undergoing a change. That which becomes many without undergoing a change is what? Vibhuhu. In another example, suppose water is there. No? Water has become many waves. That water alone shines as innumerable waves. But still water continues to be H2O. Becomes many, So that which becomes many, having become many, shines as many, retaining its swarupam as what it is, without undergoing a change. Understand? It's called vibhu. Swarupatte irakkamal yenda ondra anittamaga thonri vilangugirado. That is vibhu. The nature doesn't undergo change. Okay, we are going to say it's called vivartha. Vivartha upadana karma. I'll teach you about it like next class. Next mantra. Next mantra. Vibhu. Then, therefore, definitely we can say any of these objects, objects of knowledge or objects of actions or means of knowledge or means of actions, none of them is what? Vibhu here. Only one thing shines as many. Become many and shines as many. Not many, everything. Listen, all that we see here is nothing but now that reality. Therefore, that is vibhu. Vibhu is such a very, very profound word. So, nitya vibhu, then sarvagataha. Sarvagataha. So, nitya implies eternity of the reality, timelessness of the reality, and vibhu also implies what? No, the changelessness and the all pervasiveness, and these, what is said by the word vibhu, again, no, it's commented upon by the following word, sarvagataha. Sarvagataha, sarvatra gacchati iti sarvagataha. Understand now? That which is all pervasive, sarvagataha, yengum sendrikindra paramparul. That means what? Irikindra. Isn't all pervasive? Sarvagataha. Sarvagataha, when you say all pervasive, we can understand this, what is drishyam, grahyam, all not all pervasive. Drishyam is not all pervasive, grahyam is not all pervasive. So, objects of knowledge, objects of actions are not all pervasive. Means of knowledge are not all pervasive. Means of action also is not all pervasive. Understand now? And everything is in this universe what? Time, spatially limited. And then what is all pervasive? Space alone is all pervasive. But we should not mistake Brahman for space. Brahman is not even the space. Why? Because you have to see, space itself exists in Brahman. Brahman does not exist in the space, but space exists in Brahman. Space is pervaded by Brahman. All pervasiveness of reality has to be really understood very well. How do you say here? Because Brahman is the subtlest, subtler than space. Listen now. Second thing, Brahman is not an object of knowledge, whereas space is an object of knowledge. Space is an object of knowledge. Therefore, when you say space being an object of knowledge, already we have said Brahman is adrishyam. Brahman is not an object of knowledge, we already said this. The space is drishyam, isn't it? Therefore, Brahman being adrishyam and space being drishyam, Brahman is not the space. And then Brahman is subtler than space and Brahman is all-pervasive. So spatially also Brahman is limitless. So Brahman is that which is spatially limitless. Nityaha says Brahman is that which is time-wise limitless, which is of the nature of timelessness. Understand now? So time, this is Nityaha, Vibhuhu, Sarvagataha, these words you have to remember. Here you have to see, if you see the meaning of these words, just now on your own, think how awareness is this. It's all contemplation. Contemplation does not mean you have to sit in a corner and closing your eyes. Yes, Matt, you can be sitting in sofa also. If you just see the meaning of these words, your mind is not elsewhere. But you genuinely be with this meaning. How it is. This is called enquiry, vicharaha. Swarupa vicharaha. Swarupa anusandhanam. Means seeing the meaning of these words. That is how you become contemplative. Get. Okay, let me say this. Nityaha vibhu sarvagataha. Say these three words. Nityaha vibhu sarvagataha. Then, sarvagataha, how do you say it's all pervasive again? Is a susukshmam.
Susukshmam.
See, sukshma means subtle. Nutpamanadu. What is nutpamanadu? What is subtle here? A imperceptible is subtle. We know that. The imperceptible through senses is subtle. But imperceptible for thought also is what? Brahman is not available for sense perception, not available for thought perception also, like headache. Understand? Mental burden. Stress, okay? Is not available for thought perception also. It was what? Now, if it is not enough, you simply say sukshmam. Susukshmam. Susukshmam. Susukshmam means a Brahman is the subtlest. Incomparably subtlest. Unknowably subtlest. Indescribably subtlest. Because not at all an object. Understand now? Susukshmam. Subtler than the space. The word pervasive space means imagine. The subtler the vastu, the more pervasive it is. Therefore, Brahman is subtler than space. Therefore, Brahman is all pervasive, susukshmam. What is that? Therefore, he says here, tad avyayam. Not only susukshmam, atma avyayaha. Atma avyayaha. Avyayaha means what? Vyayaha means, there's a verb, vyeti. Vyeti means spends, spending money. That is why vyayaha means expenditure. You know, the vyeti means spending. And it can be reduced. The amount in the bank can be drawn. It can be taken to nil. Again, you can deposit more. It can be increased or decreased. Vyeti. It can be declined. Understand now? It can be declined. And also moon, digital moons of veins like that. Declines day after day. Such change, Brahman is not subject to any change. See, anything, Brahman is not anything which is subject to change. So it's indeclinable. Understand now? Avyayaha. So changeless. Avyayaha means changeless. Changeless, indeclinable. Not subject to any modifications or change. That's why it's called avyayaha. Bhagavad Gita gives few more words. Okay, sthanaho. Satyam nitya sarvagata sthanaho. Achaloyam sanatanaha. Give one more word Bhagavad Gita gives. Sarvagataha. Sthanaho. Unmoving. Doesn't move from one place to another place. See, all pervasive means it cannot move. It pervades the whole, it fits the whole place tight. Therefore what? All pervasive means there is no place where it is not. Therefore movement is not possible on the part of the reality. Understand now? There is some space around that it can move like this. Where there is a place where Brahman is not. Well, the moving is possible. Movement is possible. So unmoving, achalaha. Then immobile, does not move. Movement is not possible. Why? Because there's no place, there's no space which is not pervaded by the reality. For avyayaha, listen now, avyayaha, then atma is nityaha, atma is vibhu, atma is sarvagataha, atma is susukshmaha, atma is avyayaha. Atma is Brahman. Atma is what? Brahman. Atma is Brahman. Brahman is Atma. What is Brahman? Adresham, Agrahyam, Agotram, Avarnam, Achakshushotram, Tadap, Apanipadam. Therefore, Brahman is not anything which is the Jagat. Listen now. But Then what is Brahman? Brahman is, therefore, Brahman is, can you say Brahman is, cannot be, is not object of knowledge, means Brahman cannot be known, is unknowable, cannot be known at all. No, Brahman can be known, but known as, cannot be known as an object of knowledge, but Brahman is available for knowing, for recognizing, recognition as the subject of knowledge. Subject of knowledge means as the knower. As the knower is I. Understand now? As the meaning of the word I. As the substance of the substantive I. For which you have been taught Dattabodha class two methods of unfoldment. Understand now? Drit Drishya Viveka Prakriya we used, and first we distinguished. Now understand how Upanishad presents it? We don't talk about the world around. Okay, we know object. Brahman is not an object of knowledge. What is Brahman? The reality of the whole jagat is available for recognition, not as an object of knowledge, but as the subject of knowledge. Whole jagat minus I is incomplete, not total. Listen now. Therefore, we say we don't need to, the other things are okay. And we start with this physical body there. So body is Trishyam, body is Grahyam, body is Sagotram, body is Savarnam, body is Sapanipadam. Understand how? And not only that, Chakshu also, Achakshu Snotram. Therefore, not any of the sense powers, not the pranas, not the mind. Then what is it then? What is it there always? When these things are not there also. There is a time when this body is as though not there. In deep sleep state, okay? That is why we also do another the avasthatraya prakriya. We analyze this. Come on, this mind goes through three stages as a waking, deep sleep and then dream states. In all these three states also, mind falls asleep and wakes up and falls asleep and wakes up. No? Waking up is happening and then falling asleep also is happening. For which there must be something, no? Which is aware of this happening of well, the states, the changes are taking on the part of the mind. That is what is awareness. Pure awareness. That because of which, okay? That which is aware of. Being aware is the swarupam of the reality. Look at this. That because of the presence of which, the changes that take place on the part of the mind as three different stages. Become known is the reality, and then there is awareness of these stages. Different stages. There is awareness of these stages. Awareness of the waking state, awareness of the deep sleep. I'm wishing you, please listen to me carefully. Please listen to me carefully. There is awareness of the waking state, okay, awareness of the deep sleep state, awareness of this dream state also. That means there is awareness. The awareness, then minus states, is what? Pure awareness. Understand? The pure awareness is what? There is something called pure awareness. Do you understand? Is there awareness or not? Tell me. Is there awareness or not?
Yes.
There is awareness. Awareness minus the state of mind is what? Pure awareness. So pure awareness is, why pure? There is awareness? Because that's reality, that's how reality is. Being aware is the nature. Being aware is the nature of the reality. How the reality is? Reality is in the form of awareness. Ara uru eppadi irukkirathu? Uru menna? Paramparai uru menna na? Arive vadivam na. அறிவே உருவம். தெரிந்தவங்களுக்கு அறிவே வடிவம். பரவலுக்கு என்ன வடிவம் இருக்குன்னா அறிவே வடிவம். அது சொன்ன அவேர்னஸ் ஈஸ்டி சொல்றோம். ரியாலிட்டி யூ அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட், வாட் யூ அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் இஸ் அவேர்னஸ் இஸ் தி ரியாலிட்டி, நாட் டூ டிஃபரெண்ட் திங்ஸ். And being aware is the swarupam. Knowing is the swarupam. Being aware is the swarupam. That is why we say, even though we use the word reality, the truth of the whole jagat, you know, immensely, immeasurably big and limitless, all we talk about, that vastu, the substrat, the beginningless, changeless, okay, this vastu, endless, all eternal vastu is in fact nothing other than this awareness. That is why reality, understand the reality in terms of its swarupam, being aware. Okay? Awareness. Knowing. Now you can understand how the awareness cannot have Abba. Understand? First understand what awareness is not. Then understand what awareness is. So understand what awareness is. Then you can understand how awareness is timeless, etc. This is what dwelling. Understand now? First understand what awareness is not. Then you arrive at what pure awareness is. Then having arrived what pure awareness is, then you can see the meaning of these words. How awareness is eternal. How awareness is timeless. Is it clear now? This is what being with the vastu. Then, awareness is knowable. It is available for recognition, but not as an object of knowledge, but as a subject of knowledge, only as a subject of knowledge. As not as the known, but as the knower. But available for recognition as the knower is resolved, the I becomes resolved. It is a pure awareness is the meaning of the word I. Like content of the word wave is H2O. Understand? What is the content of the word H2O, or wave? H2O. What is the meaning of the word H2O? What is the substance of the substantive wave? H2O similarly, what is the substance of the substantive I? The knower, the subject of knowledge, is pure awareness. And that awareness is always with some object. Look at this. There's no object which exists independent of awareness, outside of awareness. Can you say there's awareness, there's consciousness? There's no consciousness here. But there's body. When you say body is, means body consciousness is. Senses are, means sense consciousness consciousness is. Any object is, means object consciousness is. Headache is, means headache consciousness is. Drowsiness is, means drowsiness consciousness is. Only sleepy means the sleepy consciousness is. But sleep is. Sleep consciousness is not, but consciousness is. You know that? We say no consciousness while sleeping. For the person who is asleep, consciousness is being, there is not. Understand now? Not known. But wake up again, there's, you know that. Amazing, isn't it? You had to be with the teaching. Be with the teacher. You had to be with the teacher and being with the teaching. Therefore, and once you understand this reality as the meaning, okay, as the very self. Self is the reality, reality is the self. They're not two different. Self is the self of all the beings. And this, those who know, paripashyanti, not simply pashyanti. Pashyanti means see. Oh, I had to do my language class also. Pashyati sees. Pashyanti see. How do they see? Paripashyanti. Paripashyanti means see all around, see all over. Who say this? Dheeraha. Why all over means what? All over means there no object seen, awareness is missed. You see the awareness, okay? Being invariably present in all the objects, okay? Which are objects of knowledge. You see the pure knowledge invariably in all the objects of knowledge. Why? Because no object can be without being known. An object cannot be if it is not known. Even if the object is, if it is not known, it is as good as non-existent. Please understand it. If the object is not known, if the object is unknown, it is as, if the object, if it is there also, it is as good as non-existent. For an object to be known, understand, to have the status of being existent, it has to be known. And to be known means it is different on, the knower must be there for the object to be known. And who is the knower? Tell me. Understand, who is the knower? Where is the knower? There is no knower other than awareness. No mind. A mind also is object of knowledge. Mind also is the known. Since for also the known, all the means of knowledge are known now. Come under the category of objects. Mind, instrument of knowledge also comes under the category of object. The instrument of knowledge, the means of knowledge, understand now? Objects of knowledge, all are objects now. Reduce everything into the objects now. An object. World of objects. Therefore, the known, the very word known, when you say, the existent, anything existent means anything known. Anything is unknown, even if it is existent, is as good as non-existent. Anything existent means anything known. Anything unknown is as good as non-existent. So to enjoy the status of being existent, it has to be known. And to be known, there must be the knower. And who is the knower? There is no knower other than awareness. Who is this no awareness? Okay, knower is what? Who is the I here? Where is the I? Knower is the I. So knower is awareness. Therefore, I what? Understand? What is the meaning of the word I? And I never like to say the word I am awareness, okay? You can say that. But in fact, everything is awareness. To understand that everything is awareness, you need to know I am awareness. I am awareness, you should know. Then everything is awareness. The wave has to know, I the wave am the H2O. To know, every wave is water. To know, the entire ocean is water. Is it clear now? So what is there is only awareness. So, dhiraha paripashyanti. So, only wise people see this truth. Fact. Know the self. So, there's a wise person. We have so many words to mean a wise person. Dhiraha. Dhiraha means literally brave person. So, only wise person is the real brave person. Courageous person. A man of strength. If you are not wise, definitely you are a weak person of weakness. There is no strength, there is no courage, there is no... You can't help being a coward, okay? Shastra's views. You are not brave. The courageous, brave, strong person is the dhiraha. Why? Because the one who has got his mind protected is the dhiraha. Know that? Dhiyam rati iti dhiraha. Dhihi means intellect and rati means protects. Dhiyam rati iti dhiraha. Manave buddhi tan manave kathu kondavan dhiranna. Dhiraha angara vartha ki, if you analyze the word dhiraha, the one who has got his mind protected is dhiraha. How does he get his mind protected? Now, by freeing him itself, understand now, from fear. The mind which has fear is unprotected mind. The mind which is free from fear is a protected mind. Which is the mind which is free from the phenomenon called fear? The mind which is free from, okay? The mind which is resolved its, you know, smallness, identity. No, the mind which is which has identity with the body, mind, sense complex is what? Subject to limitations and frightened mind. The mind which is, understand now, the mind which is subject to fear, the mind which has resolved its identity with the consciousness, the reality, is a free mind, free from limitations. The mind which is free from limitations alone is free from fear. Understand now? As a limited being, you can't, you're subject to fear. As a limitless reality, you're free from. Understand now? Identity. It's because of what day that you are identified with. In ignorance, you have wrong identity. In knowledge, you have right identity. In wrong identity, you are subject to all limitations. In right identity, you are free from limitations. In wrong identity, understand now? When you're subject to limitations, you can't help having being subject to the phenomenon called fear. When you're free from limitations, the phenomenon called fear would have resolved by itself. There's a fearlessness. In limitations, there is fear. In limitlessness, there is fearlessness. So fearlessness is what? The nature, understand now, the nature of fearlessness is, in fact, implies the mind being free from fear. The fearless mind is the protected mind. Understand now, the one who has got his mind protected is what? Fearless minded. Understand? Fearless person. Such a person is dhiraha, brave and courage. Otherwise, there is no fear. There is fear. Understand? There is no way of being fearless. The real strength, the courage, bravery is knowledge. So, dhiraha paripashyanti. Wise people see everything as the reality. Those who see only reality, being manifest as everything, that is what is paridarshanam. Paridarshanam means what? Seeing the reality in everything, seeing everything as reality is paridarshanam. Anithirum paramparalayum paramparal anithayum parthal paridarshanam. Oh, wherever I see, my God, wherever I turn and see, I do not see a second thing other than the reality. It's called paridarshanam. Understand now? Paridarshanam. That is simply darshanam. Chimma vision. Go and have some key tea and come.